going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Time now for Mego and Shine on WEEI.
Megan Adelini here with you up until 1 p.m. joined by John Lyons. Chris Scheim has the day off. That guy works 6 to 7 days a week, so I think we can give him
we'll give him one weekend off.
Yeah. You know, he can take one weekend off. We'll allow that. Let's get through some of your calls because a lot of you guys have been patiently waiting to talk about the Celtics. And again, we're going to be with you for a couple more hours if you want to jump in. 617-779-7937 is your number to call or text the station and join the conversation. But let's go to Mike in Randolph who wants to talk about Joe Mazzulla. What's up, Mike?
Good morning, guys. And Mega, listen, I'm a fellow green teamer and I love your work, but I have to disagree with you on two things you said this morning. First off, I know you said you're a huge Marcus Smart fan. The reason they won last year was because they got rid of Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart was a black hole. He lost his step defensively. He was useless at that point. There's a reason why literally he got released and bounced around last year. He's going to be out of the league. But second thing you said was that Joe Mazzulla is a really good coach. Joe Mazzulla gets outcoached by every good coach in the playoffs. Eric Spoelstra ran circles around him 2 years ago. Tom Thibodeau ran circles around him in this series. I'm going to go back to game one. I don't remember if it was one or two, okay? He's following Mitchell Robinson, sending him to the line. The guy can't hit free throws. Jason Tatum goes down, has that dunk. They puts him up one. Tom Thibodeau decides to leave Mitchell Robinson the game. Does Mazzulla follow Mitchell Robinson there, send him to the line? No. He decides to play straight-up defense, and they end up following Brunson, who has two free throws, that puts him up to win the game. And the first two games, they didn't even get a final shot off in the final two possessions. And the plays that were drawn up were so pathetic. This guy sucks. He had nothing to do with last year.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Hey, it's a safe space here so you can share all of your opinions and you can feel free to disagree. I know we all have all our feelings and opinions about what happened in this series. I think it's fair to criticize, especially in the final moments of those first two games,
The
execution or what the expectations of what should have happened were. Like, the one thing I'm not going to do, I'm not going to sit here and be like, okay, Tibbs is one of the greatest coaches of this era of the NBA.
He's not.
I like Tibbs a lot. I think he gets a fair amount of criticism. A lot of people thought that he was coaching for his job, at least up to this series. I think he certainly has saved it now. But going into the series, a lot of people in New York thought that Tibbs was coaching for his job. And he has his own history here with the Celtics, coaching with Doc Rivers. He's a good coach as well. But some of it comes down to the characters of these series. Like, people sometimes in games will tweet at me or say stuff like begging Brad Stevens to come downstairs and coach on the sidelines. I remember in those bubble playoffs when the Celtics lost to the Heat against Spoelstra and people were saying, Brad got pants by Spoelstra. I think whenever you come out of these disappointments like this, everybody looks to the coach, and it's fair to look at him and criticize. But at the same time, I do give Joe credit because I was very harsh on him his rookie season as a coach. I think he's improved a lot. Where he's going to be in the future with this team, I think, is a question mark in the long term, like everybody else outside of Jason Tatum. But hey, if you want to take it to Joe Mazzulla, you take it to Joe Mazzulla. That's your right.
I think when it comes to Mazzulla in this series, I mentioned before, the Knicks were mentally and physically tougher. Like, at what point does that part fall on the head coach? And also those end-of-game situations in Game 1 and 2, like calling the same play back-to-back in Game 2, first time it works. Yeah, maybe it could work the second time, and but I don't love that.
Do we even call what Jason Tatum did a play?
Well, that's fair, too.
I mean, like, he went in for an awesome dunk, and then he tried to do it again.
My issue is, like, last year, I thought he was good, and they won a championship. Like, I feel like there's been a lot of glossing over the fact that they are the defending champs. But it felt like this year at times, they were so driven shooting the three. And on the whole, of 82 games or, you know, 100 games, hopefully, in the finals, that can work. But it felt like there were times on individual nights, and I think of games 1 and 2, and I think of this, when even though you're getting open looks, they're just not going in. Where there wasn't a quick enough adjustment. Or like in this series, little too much Porzingis the first few games and not enough Kornet, especially when Porzingis showed he wasn't effective.
Not enough Peyton Pritchard
in those first two games.
After that Game 3 win, I don't know how you don't go, hey, we played Peyton for over 30 minutes and he was great. He wasn't a total liability on defense, as he hasn't been for years at this point. And he was so productive. He's a leading scorer for our offense. We need to generate offense with Jason Tatum out in Game 4. Like, put that guy back in.
And also, he was starting double bigs, and they were still getting smoked on the boards. I was like, well, maybe go smaller at some points. So I think there were certain areas on the margins where Thibodeau had the advantage. Like, some of those, remember, where I think it was Game 2 where they fouled Ananobi to try to get up to the bonus, and then he took Robinson out, so then Robinson didn't end up shooting the free throw. Like,
right.
It felt like little situations like that, the end of games 1 and 2, the Pritchard thing. So I don't think he got pantsed fully by Thibodeau, but Thibodeau was the better coach in this series, especially in those areas on the margins. And like I said before, I mean, how much of the toughness factor, some of it's on the players themselves and the pride, and you give credit to the Knicks, but how much of that is on the head coach?
Well, I think for who Joe Mazzulla is and what he preaches, all about his mindset, his weird jujitsu stuff, all his insane comments about death and the parquet tasting like blood. And
he was
like
playing checkers, not chess, though.
Psycho
series,
stuff.
Right,
well, when you preach all that stuff, you really need the team to reflect it.
And last year they did. The thing. They were tougher last year, and they won a championship. But the other 2 years he's been head coach, they've been quote-unquote out-toughed in two playoff series and lost. And again, it's not all on him. Right, like, I'm not going to blame him for Game 7 in 2023, Tatum sprains his ankle and Jaylen Brown wilts in a huge moment. But still, it's like twice in a series?
Yeah,
like,
you shouldn't have been down 0-3 to that
right,
Heat
that's
team.
Like, that's the thing. Why are you down 0-3, especially with a Game 2 lead at home in that series? Like, and then this year, why are you down 3-1? Like, in this, like, that's the issue. Like, before, if Tatum never dives for that loose ball and is fully healthy, you're still down 3-1.
Oh, yeah. I got to say,
like, that's something I think has been kind of glossed over, too.
Hey, for the record, it's all hypotheticals, and you never know. They were going to lose that game against the Knicks before Jason Tatum went down in Game 4. Like, they were going to lose
three
that.
3 minutes left.
They had already put themselves in an incredibly historically difficult position against the Knicks. So, nobody is sitting here and say the entire series and this entire run was lost on the Jason Tatum Achilles tearing. That was really just the dagger to the heart and the thing that you're going to have to contend with for the next 12 months. But at the same time, there were a lot of problems that we saw before that, and there were going to be problems after that regardless. Let's go to Sean in Montana. Sean, are you really in Montana, or is that just your phone?
Yeah. Yes, of course I am. Thank you. Yeah, I am calling from Kalispell, Montana. So, yeah, I of course live here and stuff too. I just want to say thank you so much, first off, for taking my call and stuff too. Your point is correct about, like, the situation with the injuries. They've always seemed, when you're talking about with the Celtics, that they're just hit with injuries. You know, like, you have Tatum going out – I knew the team was done when Tatum was out with the injury, and it's like, can they win really three in a row? I mean, obviously we knew they would win game five, but you guys, you both touched on some really good points, that the Knicks were just more physical, they were more healthier, and I have to say this too, even when you go back to the Orlando series, the team was really hit with injuries. Like, think about it, Holiday had pulled his hamstring, you know, Porzingis has that, what do you call it, the viral infection. It just seems that that's been the problem that this team has been hit with. I have one point to make with that. And we need to get rid of the three ball. Okay, look, I understand threes are good, but for goodness sake, you can't spend your life shooting threes. That's another thing that hurt this team. If they could just learn to stop shooting threes, it'd be fine. I don't care if it's the NBA of today, okay? It, like, come on, there's ways to attack the paint and take the ball to the basket. I've watched the NBA for a long time, and I can tell you, growing up, there was a time when teams could just go right to the basket, and the Celtics just shoot way too many threes. I'd also say they missed free throws that hurt them. And then, of course, let's look at the fatigue factor. There was a lot of times that they looked like just a tired team and stuff, too. And the final point I have to make, too, is that, yeah, it's really been a frustrating time overall for Boston sports. Like, look, Celtics just got eliminated. The Red Sox are playing bad ball right now. They've been up and down, up and down. They're dealing with the Rafael Devers thing. The Bruins, who knows what their future holds? We don't know what's going to happen with them. And the Patriots drafted well, but we'll see how well they look this season. It's not like I'm trying to, like, get off topic and stuff, okay, everybody. But it's just been really frustrating with our teams. I mean, it's like we've been getting torched as Boston sports fans with just seeing our teams lose constantly. It's like, come on, let's get back to the winning ways and stop this losing.
All right. Thanks, Sean. Good call. I did write about this at the beginning of the week. I was thinking the morning after Jason Tatum's injury, and everybody kind of spent the whole day wondering what's going on. Why hasn't the news come out? I was pretty sure he was in surgery and they were waiting to say, hey, clean surgery. This is exactly where he's at now. And I was thinking about how dark it's become in the landscape of Boston sports. And I know that's something that everybody is used to hearing on our radio waves. Like, even when the Patriots were in the Super Bowl conversation every year, there was something that people would bitch and vent about that they didn't like or that they were worried about. And it felt like, okay, this is this manufactured drama. This is what sports radio is. But it is dark right now. And this is after decades of dominance and duck boat parades and two parades in 1 year and the greatest ever here and the greatest ever there. But I think Sean has a point. When you look at it right now, this is what I wrote in my column. Last time it felt this at least uneasy was 2000. And that was the year of Loserville. And that was the year that nobody made the playoffs. I think what came after that was pretty spectacular. Because then all of a sudden...
Pretty good.
Then all of a sudden the savior and Tom Brady arrives. And you get the reverse of the curse. And you're off from there. So, hey, maybe this is a little fallow period for right now. And you'll get back up off the mat. But it's okay to look around and say it's a little bit dark right now.
Yeah, and it's not the 90s, okay, because, you know, we do have the defending NBA champs here 11 months ago today. It's not the 90s, but I will say this. You look around, the Bruins are probably 2 to 3 years away from being good. The Red Sox still might be another year away, despite Crochet and Bregman being added. The Patriots are going to be much better, I think, this year. I know we're going to get to this later in the show, but they're probably a couple years away from being a real contender. And the Celtics, once Tatum comes back, will be a championship contender again. That could be 8 months from now. It also could be 14 months from now. We don't know what that's going to be. And even when he does come back and they're a championship contender, they're not going to be the best roster in the NBA like they have been the last 2 years.
We're going to continue talking Celtics with you all morning. What does the summer hold? It doesn't hold a duck boat parade. Nobody's stitching up Banner 19 to raise in October, November, whenever it would have been. But unfortunately, it is going to hold a lot of changes. There is going to be a lot of news because you get an ownership change that's probably coming through in June and July. You got a bloated payroll that you're probably going to have to shed a lot of. We're going to get to that right after trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Celtics' pursuit of Banner 19 and back-to-back titles is over. They fell to the Knicks 119-81 in last night's Game 6 at Madison Square Garden. Jaylen Brown led the way with 20 points, and here's what he had to say after the loss.
It stings. Anytime, you know, losing stings, especially finishing your season like this, you know, it wasn't our year.
Knicks will advance to take on the Indiana Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals. That series will get underway on Wednesday. Red Sox losing streak was extended to 4. They lost to the Atlanta Braves in last night's Chris Sale versus Garrett Crochet pitcher's duel at Fenway. 4-2 was the final. Crochet went 7 innings, allowing 2 runs on 7 hits while striking out 8. They'll be back in action tonight at Fenway when Lucas Giolito takes the mound opposite Grant Holmes. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Dan Ball getting you started on the Mass Mutual pregame show at 6:15. Then Will Fleming and Lenny DiNardo will have the call of the game. First pitch at 7:15. Elsewhere in the NBA, the Denver Nuggets heading to Oklahoma City for a winner-go-home Game 7 tomorrow afternoon. Winner takes on the Timberwolves in the Western Conference Finals. Over in the NHL, the Toronto Maple Leafs staved off elimination. They got a 2-0 win over the Panthers in Sunrise. They'll head to a Game 7 back in Toronto tomorrow night. The Jets looking to follow in Toronto's footsteps later tonight. They'll head to Dallas for a Game 6. Stars lead that series 3-2. Some major NFL news from yesterday. The 49ers and quarterback Brock Purdy agreed to a 5-year, $265 million extension, making him the 5th highest paid player in the NFL. Finally, the Revolution hosting the San Jose Earthquakes tonight at Gillette Stadium. Kickoff at 7:30. My name is Zach Cohen. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Mego and John Lyons coming up after this.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Mego and Shime on WEEI.
Not to go all Danny Ainge, and anybody who watched Celtic City just saw him like talk about this, where he's like, yeah, you should trade Bird. You should trade Mikhail. Then I'm the one who got traded, right? Like but I do agree with Ainge is you can't be nostalgic about things. Like you can't be, man, you know, Drew Holiday was a big part of winning us the title, so we have to keep him forever. Like when you run into that, that's how you run into a team that eventually completely ages out and you're awful.
That was Keith Smith from Spotrac on Off the Pike with Brian Barrett. Friend of the station.
Yeah, first person to tell me about a year ago that this year's Celtics roster was going to be $500 million.
Oh, really?
I almost fell out of my chair. I had him on.
Keith Smith or Brian Barrett?
No, Keith Smith.
Okay,
I
Keith
had him
Smith,
on.
This is like his area. This
yeah.
is his thing.
I was sitting in this same chair. I almost fell out of it. He's like, yeah, it's going to be like $500 million in a couple of years. I was like, what?
Yeah, it's crazy. They have these numbers change here and there. So these are rough estimates, but at least according to Spotrac, what they're tied up for is a $238 million tax penalty if they kept the roster exactly as it is, on top of a $226 million payroll. So that's where you get to almost $500 million to keep this entire roster together. I never thought that that was going to be the reality well before the Tatum injury, well before the Knicks series started. And even, you know, even when we were looking at this before we knew that there was going to be a sale of the Celtics.
As soon as Drew Holiday signed his extension last year, I think a lot of us looked at it and said, this is through 2025 because that contract from Holiday is tradable. Porzingis is, I mean, we didn't know the virus thing, but at the time, like, oh, that could be true. So I think we knew that a couple years ago. And look, can I just make one quick point on this CBA discussion? I think NBA teams and the NBA might look back on this CBA with some real regret over the second apron. And I bring that up because what we're seeing right now is the Celtics are being punished for being smart. Right, they draft and develop Tatum and Brown. Then they use other assets that they drafted and developed or had to get Porzingis, to get Holiday, and build a championship team. And now because they were smart, they're getting – like they didn't just go out and like Miami with LeBron and sign high-priced free agents.
Right.
They were smart. And we're mad about this now, and I'm bitching about this now here for the Celtics. In the next 5 years, Mego, it's going to happen to Indiana. It's going to happen to Orlando. It's going to happen to OKC. These teams that built through the draft, especially, and those teams are smaller markets, built through the draft smartly with stars. I mean, is there going to reach a point where Orlando has to trade Franz Wagner or Banchero? Or is there going to be a point where Indiana can't afford Halliburton? Or, I mean, I don't think SGA and OKC, but some of those pieces, like, is Chet Holmgren not going to be able to stay there? So the Celtics are being penalized now, and that's the focus. But this CBA punishes smart teams, and whereas stupid teams like Dallas, right, trade Luka and you get the number one pick. That's a whole nother discussion.
Yeah,
but like
that's for another show.
But smart teams like this, they're being punished for being smart. It's not like Golden State signing Kevin Durant and okay, you have this super team that you brought, but even Golden State, like they drafted Curry, Thompson, and Green, and they got penalized for it. So it penalizes smart teams, and I just think that's wrong. Like I just think that's so like Phoenix, okay. I can understand them being penalized because they traded for Durant's high contract. They traded for Beal's high contract. Okay, you can maybe talk. But, like, these teams that draft and develop and are smart, the Celtics, OKC, Orlando, India, like, again, we're pissed about this today. And this summer we'll be frustrated, I'm sure. But this is a problem that I think is going to reverberate itself across the NBA.
You're preaching to the choir because I've been complaining about this for a couple months at this point. I want to read this.
What about the Wolves?
I want to read this column from our buddy Jared Weiss, because I think he puts it well. This is what he wrote after the game last night. He said, "Welcome to the parody era. The NBA has been redesigned this way. Repeat champions are supposed to be damn near impossible now. Teams are threatened with a sea of red tape if they are audacious enough to pay their players what they deserve. The second apron was conceived to keep teams on the mountaintop as briefly as possible, ensuring every season is a mystery. It's working, with the New York Knicks advancing after eviscerating the Celtics 119-81 on Friday, and the Oklahoma City Thunder and Denver Nuggets locked in an epic battle. Nobody knows who is going to win the title. The only thing repeating in June these days is novelty. The Celtics elimination marks 7 straight NBA seasons without a repeat champion. It's a genuine shame that this could be the final remnants of this Celtics era. As Brown put it, losing to the Knicks feels like death, but there's life after death awaiting whoever is left to come in October. I got to say, I think parody is terrible. I don't know. Maybe some people like going in and saying it's anybody's game, and there were always complaints from some fans who
Charlotte
said
Charlotte likes that
guy New with Orleans, the maybe. Team with the best guy is going to win. I think parity is a terrible thing for leagues. I think fans like hating the Kansas City Chiefs. I think fans loved hating the New England Patriots. I think fans both loved and hated the Chicago Bulls, depending what part of the country you lived in. And I think it's good for the sport if you have teams, as you said, Lions, that are built up through the draft, especially when you incentivize teams and basically lock them into supermax contracts with the players that they draft. So if you find yourself in a magical situation where you draft Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown in back-to-back years, they both reach all NBA status and are rightly awarded with their supermax contracts, but then that puts you into this brand new layer of the CBA, and you can't even trade one of those guys for a year after you give them the supermax contract if you wanted to, because everything the NBA is doing is trying to make you keep your highly performing drafted player with the team to push back against the player empowerment era, which went way too far, as you could see with like the Brooklyn Nets trying to put together their own stupid Kyrie-centric teams and James Harden packing up and bouncing to a different strip club city every offseason. Like, that was bad.
Surprised he never played
that
in
was
Atlanta.
Bad for the NBA, and this is going to be bad too. And I do think part of it is owners looking at it and saying, we can't have these tech guys coming in and buying a team and having a situation like Phoenix where they're going to pay anything. We can't have somebody bloating up these salaries to the point that now it's the MLB and you have a situation like the Dodgers who are going to be spending God knows how much for the next 20 years just picking up these crazy contracts and deferring and finding a new loophole in the system. I think it's from an ownership perspective. I think it's terrible if you want to build something that's meaningful to fans, because fans aren't looking at it like it's the NCAA tournament where it's like, ooh, it's anybody's chance come June. Fans are looking at it going like, where are the great players? Where are the great teams? We want to see the great teams going up against each other. And that's not to say anything against the Knicks. And that's not to let the Celtics off the hook for losing those two games at TD Garden that they should have won. I just think it is a big mistake, this second apron.
And even your point about Phoenix and their ownership. Like, okay, they spent a record amount, and they weren't that good, like, because they didn't build it in a smart way. Like, they traded for a guy in Bradley Beal who wasn't that good anymore, and with a no-trade clause, and they're paying him $50 million a year. So just because you spend the most is not a guarantee of success. You have to be smart, and that's what pisses me off, is they penalize smart teams. It's happening to the Celtics now. It will be OKC. It will be Indiana. It will be Orlando. Think about the Knicks team that just beat the Celtics. I know it's the New York market, but is there a tipping point for them if they start getting close to the second apron or into it? And I think there's some easy solutions, too. Like, if you sign a guy to a supermax deal, the whole deal doesn't count against your luxury tax. Like, there's easy ways around that, because a supermax, by definition, means you drafted the right guy, you developed him, and he earned it. Like, that should be rewarded on both sides, the player and the team. And I think your point about parity, I don't think you want a situation where, remember when it was, what, 3 or 4 years in a row where you kind of knew before the year it was going to be Cavs-Warriors in the finals. Like, that to me was too far. What you want is what you had in the 80s, 90s, and even early 2000s, where you had multiple teams competing for dynasties, but then another team that could sneak up. Like, for example, Lakers win 3 in a row. But then the Spurs also won a few. The Pistons snuck up and won one. The Celtics won one.
But, right,
you,
but again, you
had these powerhouses.
You have the Lakers winning 3 in a row. You have the Spurs winning right. 5. Like, these are teams that I don't know that you could keep together today. And again, I don't want to sit here and be like giving the Celtics excuses.
The 80s Celtics wouldn't be able to be kept together now.
Right, for everything that's happening. Yeah. I just think it's bad for any league. I truly do. I think as much as people bitch about seeing the Kansas City Chiefs and being sick of Patrick Mahomes, I feel that way too. As much as people used to feel that way about the Patriots, I think that those are the things that matter to people in sports. And this is a debate that I've had with people, but I don't think anybody outside of Detroit looks back on the 2004 Detroit Pistons and goes, well, that was one of the greatest times in the NBA. No, everybody was like waiting around to see what LeBron was going to do and hope that he would build something special with the Cavs. That's what people are looking for. And so it's not just a Celtics-centric conversation. I just wish that leagues and owner owners would understand this, but I think the biggest question now looming for the Celtics is what is the new owner in Bill Chisholm going to be looking at when he looks over this payroll? It was no mystery to him what he was taking on. Of course, he didn't know that this was going to be probably an entire year without Jason Tatum, if you ask my opinion. But he knew what he was getting into with these contracts. So what do you think is going to be on the table this offseason or the following season in terms of the movement that we're going to see with this roster?
I think just about everything. And I think the biggest question in the next year, and you and I were talking about this off air, is what is Tatum's exact injury timeline, right? But the second biggest question, and it's a close second, what is Bill Chisholm's tolerance for payroll and luxury taxes? Is he a guy, like you mentioned how Wicked said, we don't want to go in the second apron 2 years in a row. Does Chisholm say, I don't want to go in the second apron at all? Or
exactly what Wick said. I think it's important, just really quick, sorry to interrupt, but I do think it's important to say what Wick said, which is nobody is going to be in the second apron more than 2 years. That, to me, speaks to the point of the second apron, which is ownership groups saying, we're not going the way, my opinion, we're not going the way of baseball. We're not getting into this crazy situation. We need to do something. And on top of that, if there's going to be some new owner who comes in and is crazy enough to continue spending past the second luxury tax, the second apron, if somebody is going to be so insane that they're spending like $1 billion on their team at some point, we're going to put in these basketball penalties. And I know people kind of underscore or they underrate them. They underappreciate these penalties, but it really does start to become like, okay, your first round draft pick gets kicked all the way back. So you really can't start trading that anymore. It doesn't have the same value. You can't match the money for guys. You can't compile multiple players to trade for one player. Like, it starts to really tie your hands behind your back in terms of trying to make adjustments, especially in season if something goes wrong with your team.
And so is Chisholm a guy that says, I'll go into the second apron once and come back? Is he a guy that says, I don't want to go there at all? I want to hover around the first apron. Like, that's a huge question here, because I look at this roster. Tatum is your all NBA top five player. He's your guy. Brown and White. Though, to me, that's your core, is Tatum, Brown, and White. Now, is there a scenario that maybe they could trade Jaylen Brown or Derek White? It's possible. I think it's unlikely. I think trading Jaylen Brown would be a huge mistake. Unless the only way I'm trading Jaylen Brown is if it's some sort of package where you're getting a top seven player in the NBA back, which realistically just I don't see happening. So I think it's Tatum, Brown, and White, and you got to build around that. And I think you got to look at it and say, who are the guys that can maximize, and of course for this year, Brown and White, but Tatum, Brown, and White going forward. So for the last couple of years, it's been Porzingis and Holiday with Horford and Pritchard off the bench. I think you could look at it now. I think they're going to need to look, is there a guy out there with a little bit more of an edge, right? Because I felt, again, Knicks were physically and mentally tougher. Heat were physically and mentally tougher 2 years ago. Is there a guy out there that has a little bit more of an edge that you can bring in? I think interior, you need more help, because even if you keep Porzingis, his health is a constant question mark. Horford might retire, and even if he comes back, he's 39. Cornette probably will leave and get a nice payday, and even if he stays, it's a role player. So I think inside out as far as building, but really to me, it's Tatum, Brown, and White. That's your core now going forward.
Who do you guys think is meant to stay here for the Celtics going forward? Who do you think it's time to move on from? The number is 617-779-7937 if you want to call or text us to join the conversation. Here are some of the numbers that you're looking at for next year's active roster. Of course, you got Jason Tatum's $54 million kicking in. Jaylen Brown has 53 for the year. Then you get down to Drew Holiday has 32.4. Kristaps Porzingis has 30.7. And Derek White has 28.1. I think you're pretty on the money. And I think if you just look at the contracts that these guys have, it kind of supports that of what is going to be the core that you're building on moving forward. Peyton Pritchard is somebody who's been developing so much over the last year and really over the last couple of years, who can backfill some of those responsibilities in your backcourt if you have to move on from Drew Holiday. I also wonder if it's a situation where we don't see like everything wiped out this summer. It's not like you get an entire reset this summer. Maybe you lose some of these guys like Sam Hauser, who has $10 million, and this is all hypotheticals. Maybe you move on from Drew, and that gets you at $42 million off of your payroll. And then, depending on how the season is going, you can show Kristaps Porzingis back to health, having fully recovered, hopefully, from whatever kind of virus lingering thing he was dealing with. Other teams looking around, somebody else feels like they need a big move and they like what they see from Kristaps. He's on an expiring contract at that point, so they can basically take him on as a rental. And that just fits kind of nicely if you want to deal him at the trade deadline. I'm not saying that this is necessarily exactly what the Celtics are going to do, but I don't think it's going to be something that is as drastic. You never know. You never know. I remember when Brad Stevens was telling people that Robert Williams III was untouchable in trades. So you never know what will happen. I don't think it's going to be something where they deal Jaylen Brown because they're going to go get the number one or number two pick in this year's draft or something as dramatic as some people were saying in the hours immediately after Tatum got out of surgery.
Oh my God, we're having a fire sale.
Are you an Arrested Development guy back there, Zach?
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a while, but I did watch the whole thing.
Okay. I watched it for the first time like a year ago.
One of my favorite shows. You can't do the Netflix version, the Netflix series that came afterwards.
I didn't watch that one.
Okay,
I watched the originals.
That's not canon, but the originals, I mean, those first three seasons, so freaking funny. Funniest show that was ever on television.
I mentioned that the Tatum injury timeline is my biggest question, and the reason I say that, Mego, is I think you look at this roster, and as I mentioned, Brown, Tatum, White, that's your core right now. So Porzingis, Holiday, and Hauser, those to me are the three prime trade candidates. And if they look at Tatum and they say, hey, there's a chance he could be back next year for the playoff run, you trade maybe one or two of those guys this summer. But if they look at it and they say, he's out for 12 months, we'll see you in the fall of 2026, then I think you could see all three getting traded and a real roster overhaul over the next 12 months. So I think, to me, that's the question I'm looking at. Like, if they sit there and they say Tatum will be back in 9 months because he did the surgery the next day, it's that speed bridge, Kobe came back in 8 months, whatever, and then, you know, he'll be back in March and we'll have a chance. Okay, then maybe you trade Holiday but not Porzingis. If they look at it and they say, we'll see you in October 26 with Tatum, then I think you see them trade all three. And I think, and part of it is, like, Horford's old. Holidays.
We didn't even touch on the situation with your bigs because you got Horford's 38.
Cornette could be gone.
He's a free agent. Luke Cornette's a free agent who took less money to stay because probably he wanted to be a champion again. Those are both big question marks for you.
Yeah, and I think that's where, when you look at this roster and what to build from, you know, is Baylor Shireman the guy that can take over for Hauser? Is Pritchard a guy that can take over for Holiday? I don't know if you really have that in the front court. Like, Nemus Kate is a nice little backup role player, but I don't see him taking over for one of those guys. So that's why, again, I think the Tatum injury timeline combined with the Chisholm spending threshold willingness, that's the two key questions we're looking at. Whereas last year, the key question was, can they just re-sign everyone? And they did. Now it's way, way, way more complicated. And the age is a factor because it's not just Horford's age. It's Holiday's age, right? Like, they lined up these guys so there'd be 2 years of them all young enough. That's not going to be the case a year from now.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue to dive into the Celtics roster. What changes you think are going to happen this summer? What's going to happen with Jason Tatum as he starts his long rehab process back from that torn Achilles? We'll be right back.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Mego and Shime on WEEI.
Trey Johnson, who is a potential top five pick, Texas guard, he openly said the Celtics interviewed him. He said it on my podcast, and an interview will air probably next week. I have multiple sources telling me the Celtics also interviewed Cooper Flagg. Now, this does not mean they're going to trade up into the top 10, but I do think it's interesting, at least, the way it works at the draft combine. Teams can interview up to 13 players, and they rank the players that they most want to interview. This would mean that they had Cooper Flagg, Trey Johnson, guys like that ranked high to get the opportunity to interview them.
That was Kevin O'Connor of ESPN, also Yahoo Sports. I believe he does a pod over there, the Kevin O'Connor Show.
Pride of Brockton, Mass.
Yeah.
You know, Rocky Marciano, Marvin Hagler, Kevin O'Connor.
Local guy. So he's hearing that the Celtics use some of their interviews pre-draft to talk to Cooper Flagg, who, of course, is assumed to be the number one overall pick in this NBA draft and really the prime blue chip player in a draft that doesn't look super deep, doesn't look as nice as some of the other drafts recently. Very much like the NFL draft, if you just want to put it in context, crossing sports. The Trey Johnson interview is a little more interesting to me. I got to think with Cooper Flagg, I don't know how the Celtics execute these interviews and pre-draft processes every year. I don't think this is like a mission to go get Cooper Flagg. I don't know.
Can I give you a conspiracy theory?
Yeah, well, just before that, I'll say I think that this is just doing due diligence, kicking the tires, seeing if this is truly like a generational guy who is somebody even down the line. Like, is he a Kevin Durant? You know, is he something like that? And trying to figure it out, just see what it is. The Trey Johnson one, I mean, that guy's got the ability to be such a prolific scorer as a shooting guard. That one's interesting to me because I think that looking down the line, they are wondering, okay, how are we going to beef up our offense, especially with Tatum out? And I don't know if these were executed before or after the Tatum injury. I would guess before. But with Trey Johnson, that's a guy who's going to be, I don't know if we heard it in that clip, but somewhere between picks 4 and 10. So you're not going to be there. So that's a little more interesting to me. The Cooper Flagg one, I think we'll hear that clip a lot over the next week with people who want to talk Celtics future and say, are they going to trade Jaylen Brown to go get the Cooper Flagg? I don't think they're going to do that. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. I didn't think Bill Belichick was going to go to UNC and be an insane person. I was wrong about that prediction. So I could be wrong about this, but if you ask me today, will they trade Jaylen Brown for a draft pick and try to go for Cooper Flagg or the Dylan Harper kid from Rutgers? No.
So my conspiracy theory, Cooper Flagg's from Maine, right?
Yes.
Local guy, Celtics fan. Correct me if I'm wrong. His rookie contract, with assuming the Mavs take him one overall, would expire in 2029. which is the same summer that Jaylen Brown's Supermax expires. So this is more about them trying to get him when he's a free agent 4 years from now or five. So they have that basis of communication already lined up with his hometown
team.
That
feels very Danny Ainge, because yeah. I mentioned Kevin Durant in part because Ainge was in love with Kevin Durant when he was at Texas. Well,
they would not have traded for Ray Allen if they got the second overall pick that year.
They wanted Durant so bad. They went, of course, everybody knows the story about Tom Brady going out to the Hamptons and trying to recruit Durant to the
local Boston
Brotherhood.
Too bad Kelly Olynyk didn't push it over the edge.
Right. I mean, look.
Sorry, Kelly Olynyk.
That's the kind of thing, like, if you fall in love with a guy in the draft process and you think maybe down the line there's a possibility, I can kind of get that. I think this is going to cause a lot of noise if people stumble across this, and I'm putting it out there onto the local airwaves for anybody who's driving around on this gloomy Saturday morning after the season has ended trying to get their Celtics fix. But I just don't think it's going to be Jaylen Brown. Let's take a call really quick. This is Kyle in Lowell. Kyle, what's up?
Three quick things on the subject. First of all, I think all the fans need to relax on the three-point style of offense and criticizing Joe Mazzulla pushing for that, because, I mean, we look back at history on the email, we were never top five in offense, and we've been able to remain top three in defense and been top three under Mazzulla all 3 years, including number one and on offense, as well as finally won a championship. Number two, what I would say about Mazzulla, he failed this year in getting Tatum to be an all-around player and make everybody better around him, which he did last year. And yes, his points suffered. He might not have won finals MVP, but we were able to play that style of offense without a real point guard, with Tatum making people better. And it's really difficult to ask him to do that, but he didn't do as good of a job this year, and it was pretty obvious. People didn't play as well around him in the playoffs. And number three, how do we fix it? We have to see if Peyton Pritchard is that point guard who could be a starting point guard to make other people better around him and dominate the ball, take it away from Brown and Tatum, especially at the end of the games, or we got to go find other ones. Oklahoma City goes against Alex Caruso and Wallace in the draft with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as a star, but we have gotten no new point guards. We just continue to run with the old man, five Swiss Army knife players. No real point guard.
All right. Thanks, Kyle. Yeah, I mean, if you look at Derek White and you say he's not a true point guard, or you even go back to when they were trying to force Marcus Smart into that point guard position, I get that. I think Drew Holiday is a true point guard, but obviously he's starting to get up there in years, and I don't think he's lost much of a step defensively, but it's kind of tough to say that when you're coming out of the series that he just had. He certainly didn't.
And also,
his
asset last year was that he didn't need to be an offensive player because their offense was so good.
Oh, yeah. I say Drew is like the anti-Rafael Devers.
Like, their offense
broke down.
He'll
do whatever
down.
It takes.
And I go back to, like, game three against Indiana last year, right? We all remember Drew Holiday's steal. He also scored the last 5 points of the game for the Celtics in a three-point win. Like, that was his, those little moments offensively was his thing. This year, their offense broke down, and he didn't pick up any slack, which, again, if you look at why they brought him in and what he did last year, is not all that surprising. But I would disagree with the caller to a point in that I think Derek White and Peyton Pritchard, and to an extent Holiday, could have run the offense. I think the Celtics didn't want that. They wanted Tatum to bring the ball up. We saw last night they made an effort to have Brown bring the ball up, which I sometimes is okay, right? Like, I'm okay. Tatum's a top five player in the NBA. Have him touch the ball a bunch. But I don't think you have to do it quite as much as they do it. I think you can have White and Pritchard, I'm thinking into next year, run the offense more than they have in the past.
I hated the response that I heard the day after game five. After that victory, the response that I heard from so many people who I like and respect personally very much, but coming out and saying, look how well the offense was executed in game five. Look how unselfish it was. Look how much the ball moved. It didn't get sticky. You don't have a ball-dominant player out there in Jason Tatum. I did an evening show with Justin Turpin, and I just thought that was such bull crap. Like, that wasn't real. If you look back and actually crunch the numbers, the assists, everything about it, the pace was a little bit slower with Jason Tatum, but everything about it was basically the same, except you don't have your best player on the team out there. And I thought that it was such a bad faith argument. And so a part of me goes, I certainly didn't want to see the Celtics lose by 38 points and get blown out at Madison Square Garden and have to watch Timothy Chalamet become the new Jack Nicholson, like glad handing everybody of the fans out outside of MSG. But I think it brought everybody down to earth a little bit to say, like, no, Tatum is not a problem in your offense. He's not. if you disagree, you can call in 617-779-7937. He's not a problem in your offense. He's your best player, and he's your best all-around player. And all this nonsense about, like, Tatum not playing well this season, Tatum was having statistically one of his best individual seasons of his entire career. Like, the only one that matched it was maybe 2022, the end of that regular season, when he was absolutely rolling under Ime Udoka. And he came out of that Orlando series ripping off three games in a row where he averaged 35 points. He was going down with the Achilles with 42 points in that game. Like, I can't do it with the Tatum stuff, because every day it's either Tatum defers too much. He has 13 assists, but he only has 12 points in game one of the finals against Golden State. Or Tatum's not angry enough. Or Tatum, his shooting isn't as good tonight. Or Tatum's settling for pull-up jumpers. You're always going to criticize that guy. Like, he seems to have accepted it, but it's still annoying for the rest of us to listen to.
When you go back to last year's finals, Brown won the MVP, and deservingly so. It was Tatum who led him in, what, points, assists, and rebounds, and was the best player on the floor in games 2 and 5. And by the way, a series that, you know, everyone kisses Luka Doncic's ass. Tatum was the better player in that series. And you didn't even mention, Tatum is a legit high-end defender.
Oh, yes.
Like, he doesn't make the all-defensive teams like White and, you know, Brown.
Which he was doing in Game 4 as well. Yeah. I mean, he had, I think, 4 steals leading up to the injury.
Yeah, and Tatum as a defender, and he's shown he can defend 1 through 5. And I think when you look at, okay, their offense was really good in Game 5 without him, part of it is they made some of those open shots that they missed in Games 2 and 4. Part of it is, I do think Brown is a little bit more, I guess, aggressive downhill, like through. And not that Tatum isn't, but Tatum is such a good shooter. And I think the Knicks weren't ready for that. And then you saw when they adjusted in Game 6 and the Knicks are ready for it, didn't really work out so well. So I think that was part of it as well. So I think maybe it's a recency bias too. Like, people see the ball get a little bit sticky in Game 4, and I know we scored 42, and they're like, oh, well, it wasn't sticky in Game 5, and they won. Like, I don't know. But I thought the people that said that were just idiots or looking for attention. Like, absolutely, to say that they're better offensively.
Looking for attention on sports radio? I mean, who does that?
Yeah.
Really?
Not us.
No. Trying to farm for engagement in sports media? Who does that? On the other side, we're going to talk a little bit more about Jason Tatum's injury, the outlook for it, based on an athlete who's not a basketball player, but I think from a mentality standpoint, could maybe show us the way of getting Tatum back and getting him back to maybe better than he was before. I know that's insane to say days after an Achilles surgery, but there's a little, you're a football guy. I want to walk down this memory lane with you and see maybe where it ends up for Tatum right after a quick break.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities.
and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.